There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Harry Horton joins us on the line from Washington, D.C. Harry, good to have you back on. Appreciate it.
Good to be here.
The story that is front and center, that phrase again, but it really is President Trump. There is pressure, I think it's reasonable to say, growing on him to work on the migrant family separation policy that seems to be in play in the United States. But just bring us up to speed on that.
Yeah, lots of pressure on President Trump to change his policy towards migrants crossing the southern border into the United States. Some background to this. So in April, the Trump administration adopted a new policy, a zero-tolerance policy, as they put it, for migrants illegally entering the United States. And that policy means that the U.S. will prosecute everyone who enters the country illegally. Policy has involved separating the parents from children that come into the country. So we know that in the 6 weeks before the end of May, just under 2,000 children were separated from their parents, some of them as young as 4 years old. We've seen reports of children being torn from their parents' arms, parents not being able to find where their children have gone. And there's also been traumatic images circulating from inside some old warehouses where children are currently being kept at the moment. Those images show children being kept in cages. Reporters have been allowed inside to report on what's happening inside, but the only images we've seen so far have been released by the U.S. authorities. They show these children in cages, as I say, no toys or books, large foil sheets being handed out for children to use as blankets. Now, these images have been all over the U.S. TV networks and front pages of the newspapers in the past few days, and it's prompted outrage from many people, including people within the Republican Party, President Trump's own party. The highest figure to speak out so far has been the former First Lady Barbara Bush, married to George H.W. Bush. She has written in one of the newspapers here in the United States, she describes the separation of children from their parents as cruel, immoral, and heartbreaking. There's been various different defenses of this from across the Trump administration. They can't seem to get their story straight. Some have defended the policy, saying it's necessary to bring down immigration numbers. And some other people, including the president, have blamed Democrats for this policy, even though, as many fact-checkers have pointed out, President Trump could end the policy today if he wanted to, but that doesn't seem to be the case. But as you said, there is increasing pressure on President Trump to change this policy, so we'll have to see how he responds over the next few days.
And Harry, another story that you've got for us today is about 22 people that were injured at a New Jersey music and arts festival. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, 22 people injured, including a 13-year-old boy at a festival over the weekend. According to the police, around three men opened fire at around 3 a.m. local time on Sunday, so Saturday night, during the music festival. They say the violence, they believe, is gang-related. They say there are also several weapons found at the scene. One of the suspects, a 33-year-old male, he was shot dead. Another is in critical condition, and a third suspect is in custody. One of the gunmen was reportedly recently released from prison on parole. But there's pressure on the police now because they've said that there were warnings before the event about possible violence. They said that they did tell the organizers that the event needed to be shut down and tried to move people out of the event, but it did go ahead. And of course, the shooting followed. So more pressure on the police to explain how this situation arose.
Harry, obviously Meghan Markle is headline news wherever she goes. We've seen her attending an event with the Queen very recently, but her father has been speaking out tearfully.
Yeah, it's the first time that Thomas Markle, the father of Meghan Markle, has given a interview. He's been speaking to ITV's Good Morning Britain in the United Kingdom. He spoke about his sadness of not being able to attend his daughter's wedding. Of course, he had heart surgery in the days before the wedding. He said he ended up watching the wedding from California, where he was recovering from heart surgery. He said his daughter Megan cried when she found out the news that he wouldn't be able to attend and walk her down the aisle. He said that he was jealous of Prince Charles for walking down the aisle, but said he was a worthy substitute of himself. He said, the unfortunate thing for me is I'm now a footnote in one of the greatest moments in history, rather than the dad walking her down the aisle. He also said that he'd been discussing US politics and British politics with Prince Harry. He said that he had complained that he didn't like President Trump, to which Prince Harry responded, give him a chance. He also said that Prince Harry said on Brexit, it was just a loose conversation about something we have to try, but he said there was no real commitment for it. He seemed to be open to the experiment. So lots of interesting takes from Thomas Markle, but I think the headline there being his sadness at not being able to attend the wedding.
I know it makes you wonder how comfortable his son-in-law and daughter must feel about him talking to the press again. It's a bit of a strange one, really, that Harry. Next, this story is just lovely. Tim happened to mention yesterday he was at a Mexican restaurant just before the football ended, and he can only imagine how excited fans were in Mexico following that football game. And of course, signs of an earthquake were witnessed after fans celebrated that World Cup win.
Yeah, that's right. An organization in Mexico called the Institute of Geological and Atmospheric Investigations, they sent out a tweet yesterday on Sunday saying that some of their earthquake sensors registered tremors shortly after the Mexican goal in the 35th minute when they scored. They said that the tremors caused an artificial quake. Now, they've since walked this back slightly. They've said that it wouldn't actually be big enough to be measured in magnitudes, and nobody would have been able to perceive this. So they've since said it wasn't a very big event at all. Some of their very sensitive equipment measured some minor tremors, but they've said it isn't large enough to be actually called an earthquake. Regardless of that, clearly the Mexican fans absolutely delighted with a historic victory over Germany. And I have to say, many Mexican fans here in the United States as well, of course, there's a large immigrant population from Mexico. So certainly big celebrations on this side of the border for that huge victory over Germany.
And it really was a huge victory. Just briefly, Harry, it's reasonable, I think, to say that football is the world's game. It is probably the biggest sport on the planet. That's an assumption I'm going to make and put out there. But it's not the case in America. It's certainly not the national sport of the United States. It's, from what we're led to believe, catching on. But just how well has the World Cup been received in the US? Are people watching it?
Yeah, it's certainly a growing sport here. I watched the game yesterday between Mexico and Germany, and I have to say a lot of Americans, because their national side isn't in this World Cup because they haven't qualified, many of them have adopted Mexico as their team to support in this World Cup. I watched the game yesterday. It was 11 a.m. local time when the game was happening. The place I watched it was absolutely packed out with Americans and many Mexicans as well watching that game. And of course, the U.S. has been awarded the World Cup in 2026. They'll host it with Canada and Mexico as well. So certainly lots of excitement building here. I don't think the TV audiences yet are at the same level that we see in Europe and other parts of the world, but the game is slowly growing, and I think people hope that by the time the World Cup comes around in 2026, it might be one of the big sports here in the United States.
A bright future for soccer. Harry Horton, based in Washington, D.C. Good to talk to you, Harry. Appreciate it.
Good to talk to you. Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.